This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Folks, this is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I have been, and always shall be, your friend.
Where can I get that in
Over
writing?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for July 7, 2010. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me, unfortunately, no Craig this time. He's busy with family obligations for the holiday weekend. I do, however, still have my trusty companion and daughter, Julie. How are you, Julie?
I'm good. How are you, Dad?
I'm doing wonderfully, thanks. It's been a great weekend. We've got a lot of stuff to cover in this week's show. Before we get into a lot of that, we want to remind you that this show is brought to you by the good people over at Citrix. Just like I said before, my friend called me up and said, I'm having problems with my web browser. And of course, it's never a fun time to try and fix those kinds of problems when you're on the phone. It's just, you got to see what the problem is. And unless you're within easy driving distance, you're just going to be spending long time on the phone. So do yourself a favor. Use it as an excuse to try GoToAssist Express. You can try it free for 30 days, and I know you're going to love it, and you're going to get done with it, and you're going to go, wow, that was the best thing since sliced toilet paper. I mixed up my metaphors. Anyway, in the woods. You can see what's on their screen securely using a web browser, SSL connection. You guys know what that means, right? Port 443. Everything's encrypted. Nobody's going to be spying on you and watching what you're watching. It's got integrated chat and file transfers and a whole bunch of other stuff. You've been listening to me talk to you about this for so long, you just got to try it. Point your web browser over to gotoassist.com/techpodcast, no plural, tech podcast, and try it free for 30 days. You'll be glad you did. Coming up in this episode of Technorama, among many other things... Oh, we got a good one tonight, don't we, Julie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I should be laughing the whole time. Coming up this time, we got 30 years of Apple computers in 2 minutes, an afternoon in the life of an AT-AT, and find out who is at the center of the sci-fi universe. All that and more coming right up.
Hey, you bumps.
Do you like trivia, fun facts, music, and sound effects in under 10 minutes?
No, but I do.
Mostly Trivial.
For over 5 years.
With your host,
Johnny B.
Get Mostly Trivial.
Okay. In the iTunes App Store.
Mostly Trivial.
It's a great way to support our show.
Apple releases fix to poor signal on the iPhone. This is Technorama News. I'm Chip Quitty reporting. In the past week, Apple released software to fix and improve the display of signal bars on the new iPhone. While the problem with the antenna still exists, the software will make it appear that the phone is still operational. Underestimating the intelligence of their customers, iPhone owners claim it was a poor fix and the problem still exists. In an emergency press release, Apple CEO Steve Jobs stated that the technology giant would immediately be sending out a new fix for customers consisting of stickers with white bars to place in the upper left-hand corner of the glass. Chip Quirty, Techrama News.
Don't you just love that? I think Apple's got something there with the stickers. It reminds me of the days of people putting whiteout on their computer monitors. Did you ever see that one, Julie?
No.
What are you doing? What? I'm fixing my typing mistakes by putting whiteout on the computer monitors. Wasn't that like a dumb blonde joke or something?
Probably.
All right, before we get too far into this, we want to make sure that we give a shout out to the chat room. Those loyal people who came around on Sunday night when we recorded this, it was a holiday weekend, and we thank everybody for joining us. It was July 4th, which is Independence Day in the U.S., and I know that on the East Coast, it's already well into fireworks time, just starting in the Central Time Zone as we record this. And, well, as Mad Marv says, he's got a few hours to go in Hawaii before he sees his fireworks. But I wouldn't mind watching fireworks in Hawaii, would you, Julie?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. We were there a couple of years ago, but it was still early to mid-June. In the chat room, we've got Gru, who kind of runs the place. Me, AD Captain America, Ben Vaughn, British Overlord. Oh, well, I guess somebody's not celebrating the 4th of July with us. Claudio M80. Oh, good one. Marboom. Nightstar Test Matt, Uncle Sam Tim. And Z, boom. Probably blowing out the microphone when I do that. So I think we'll stop there. Happy birthday coming up this week. Looking at our listener birthday calendar, we've got Kevin Devon, a.k.a. KHD. He was, with a name like Kevin Devon, what date do you think he was born, Julie? 7?
11?
Nope, he was born on the 10th.
Oh.
And he's glad of it. I think his mother should have just waited and had him on 7-Eleven. Kevin Devon on 7-Eleven. But a listener with the birthday on the 11th is Stephen Tro, a.k.a. Redneck Tech. Ooh, I like that theme. The 12th has two birthdays, Shadowbird 712 and our own Bookaroo, Francois, up in Canada. He was born in the year 11110110001. I'm so glad he translated that for me because I didn't know how old he was until now. If you want to be on the birthday calendar, you can do so by going to chuckchat.com/wiki. If you're not on the calendar and it happens to be your birthday, so sometime between the 7th and 13th, happy birthday to you. We wish you all the best. Make sure it's a safe, happy birthday. You spend it with family. And if you're on Facebook and you befriended me, I'll probably see you there and wish you a happy birthday as well there. So, happy birthday. Get your name over to the wiki. We still have people dropping their names in there, and wish you all the best. It's a good time. If you happen to be around on Sunday night, as I mentioned, join us on the live stream. You can do so. Just go to chuckchat.com/technorama. Each Sunday night, we've got a front page right up there with our live webcams. You can see both Craig and me when we're both around. And join us in the chat room. You don't need a password. You don't need to log on. Just give yourself a handle. Join in. And if you want to do a silly thing like they did for the 4th of July tonight, the group there will show you how to change the chat room handle, and it's simple. It's fun. They're a great group. It's time for the news, Julie, and we have a new news stinger thingy.
Good news, nobodies!
That, of course, from one of the recent Technoramas, or Futuramas. Got them wrong. First up in the news from RetroThing.com. Craig has stuck a few links in here, and I've stuck a few links in here, so we're going to plug on. Oh, I'm not sure if this belongs in the news or in the Remember When segment, but it took 30 years. Those of you who were around 30 years ago remember the Atari 2600 gaming console, one of the first home gaming consoles there was. And if you remember right, you when you were playing one of these, Julie, this is probably really foreign to you, but while you're playing video games, what happens when you got to go to the bathroom right now?
I pause it.
You hit pause. Well, the Atari 2600 didn't have a pause.
Why not?
It was just not part of the design.
Like putting the earphone jack in the bottom with the...
Right. It just wasn't part of the design. It's like not even putting an earphone jack in. The Atari 2600, did you ever see one of these, Julie?
I might have seen pictures.
Little brown, black thing with wood grain on it, and it had cartridges. Probably about the size of this, you know, chunk. They went in, like a lot of gaming systems did for years and years. And you've probably seen the video from these things with, like, the tanks that go around. No? No? Really bad resolution? I think even Strong Bad made fun of that.
The 8-pixel tanks.
Oh, you saw Adventure. The dragon that you said looked like a duck?
Yeah, it does. It does look like a duck. It's
right.
A duck.
That's And you kill it and its neck goes back. Quickest rigor mortis I've ever seen. Well, if you are really good at any of these games and you play them for hours, like about the only thing you could pause was like the casino game if you're playing blackjack. And Mark and I used to play that for hours and hours and hours and hours. I think we also played Superman, but Superman only had like three levels, and when you're done, you're done. It wasn't much of a game. Some of these games, you could go on and on and on, and if you had to take a bio break or hit the restroom, or the head, as they say in the Navy, you were kind of out of luck. You had to hand over the controller to somebody less experienced, which you really didn't want to do. Well, now there is a mod for it. Somebody made a mod for the 2600. It may have taken more than 30 years, but now you can add pause to your 2600. Atari Age offers their fully assembled pause kit for a mere $20. That's not a bad deal. You have to do just a little soldering yourself for the final installation, some assembly required. But the reward is that you can pause practically any 2600 game. Now, one cool thing was that the successor to the 2600 was the 5200, and that had pause except if you were using 2600 games. So this is true pause play on a 2600 for $20. Can't get much better than that. If you want information, go over to the show notes. It's a good time. Also in the news from the cool, I think a month or so ago, we mentioned, I think we even showed a video of the Tron light cycles that the team of Parker Brothers had come up with. They had made new concept vehicle for the new movie coming out. And the rider is really kind of integrated into the vehicle, the motorcycle, light cycle. Got to get my term straight here. Is that a cool looking vehicle, Julie?
Oh, yeah. Looks like it'd be hard to get on and off and stop at stoplights or something.
Well, these are the same people that made the Batman, what do you call it, the Batpod in the latest movie. Yeah, and that thing looked like it could barely function. Well, this looks like it's got more of a... I don't think it'd be hard to stop. You just put your feet down. Well, apparently the Parker Brothers team is building 5 custom one-off light cycles to the exact specs of the movie bikes. Ooh, and of course, Julie's first question is always...
What? Does it come in all the different colors?
You see, that's the female we need on this show. Does it come in different colors? The guys are going, ooh, cool, shiny. And Julie's going, does it come in different colors?
Well, the purple one.
Each bike will be black with an accent color. 5 bikes with 5 different accent colors. Red, blue, yellow, green, and orange. And I know Julie's favorite color is...
No purple.
Right. Yeah, bummer. There will only be 1 bike in each color, so if you want one of a specific color, guess what? You better be bidding high, because they're going on eBay, and I really like to know how much these things are going to be sold for. They are street legal. That's the cool thing about them, is you can ride them. I want to know where you can see one of these things cruising around the roads, because I'd like to see one in the wild. That would be just so awesome.
Oh, never. It wouldn't be hard to stop because the wheels are so wide. You wouldn't even have to put your feet
It just balances
down.
There?
Right.
I don't know if you wouldn't want this thing tipping over. That would just be so cool to see cruising around at night. Do you have to wear that outfit?
Does it glow up? Does it glow and everything?
Yeah.
Light up?
Yeah. I want to know if you have to wear the special suit.
Well...
Because some of that lighting is on the rider.
You don't have to, but it probably looks much cooler. I bet.
I think they ought to sell the suit with the bike.
Wouldn't that be a bummer if they sold it separate and you got...
Oh, you know who would
no
look...
No suit?
You know who would look good riding this?
Who?
The Tron guy. Have you seen the Tron guy?
No? What, who?
Oh, Julie has to listen to more Technorama.
Yeah, I do.
There's this guy, he looks kind of middle-aged and maybe slightly overweight. Okay, really overweight? Not you know, morbidly obese, but large around the middle. And he dresses up in this white unitard thing with blue piping and stuff around it.
Okay.
And he's got the helmet and everything. He calls himself the Tron guy.
Okay.
He's just a character. We were hoping to see him at Dragon Con, but he wasn't there. At least we didn't see him last year.
Darn.
No, see, he's the old 1980s Tron. This is the new one. He would not fit. It would be kind of like putting Adam West in you know, the new Batman movie vehicles. Just not quite right. All right, moving on with the news stories. We have, oh yeah, fish with mustaches. They attract the ladies. Oh yeah. Proving it's not just the size of your fish stick or hush puppies that attracts the opposite sex, scientists have discovered that the male Mexican mollies grow luscious mustaches. Hello, ladies. To attract the women, the fish. That was more of a French accent. These are Mexican. Scientists were unsure why male Mexican mollies wear extravagant mustache-like structures on their top lip. Now, a study has revealed that female fish find the mustache sexually attractive, and it's likely to be a sexually selected trait. Do you like my mustache?
Oh, yes, it's a very lovely.
It is a very furry. Do you know what they use the mustache for? They use the mustache not only to be visually attractive. The mustache may also be used to rub the female's fish's genitals, exciting them. That's what the scientists say, not the fish. Or me. So, fish with mustache. What's next? You think they'll have tattoos? What else could they do? Oh, I know. They could drive around expensive cars.
Right.
They could, next they'll be have little iPhones.
Fish status symbols.
Fish status symbols. If it attracts the opposite sex, you gotta have one, right?
So start growing your fish mustache.
I think I could do a fish mustache. All right, should we look at the hacks and strange stories?
Yeah, wait. Okay,
you're
now,
waiting
go.
For me now?
Go.
Hacks and strange stories! First up on the Hacks and Strange Stories is from none other than our own NCAF from The Weird Show. He writes us, if you're wondering what to eat, this was more themed for 4th of July party weekend, but by the time you hear this, 4th of July parties are going to be over, but you can use this for any party. It's awesome. If you're wondering what to eat, why not go sci-fi on your menu? And over at IO9, who also links to, where did they link this to? I lost the main story. They've got the science fiction food stuff. They've got the chest burster from Aliens, which looks kind of like a lobster tail, but...
with teeth.
Lobster tail with teeth. They've got the whole spread on the table, including Soylent Green, and I had an image up here with all the titles on it. What was the one from Deep Space Nine that the where'd it go? You know, the show notes just got messed up on this thing.
Wait, Hesperet?
Hesperet. That's it. Thank you. You must have seen that somewhere.
No, it looks like little sandwich rolls or something.
Yeah, it kind of does. Like they took a tortilla wrap with something in it. Let's see. We talked about the Soylent Green. We had, Bachelor Chow from Futurama. And, of course, you can wash it all down with a helping of a good drink of slurm. So wide variety of stuff on here. I'm not sure if the actual recipes are on here of how to make this stuff. Most of it looks edible. Would you eat it, Julie?
Not sure about the Soylent Green.
Look more like holiday cookies. I think they look pretty good. I think I'd stay away from the chest burster.
Yeah.
As long as it's cooked. I hate to poke it and go... Looks like it's ready to jump out at you at any point.
Does it have something in its mouth there?
I'm afraid to look. I don't know what it's made of. It looks kind of like ham. And something in it. Like beef. Ham over... thinly sliced ham over beef.
Maybe.
Ugh. Ugh. The more I look at it, the worse it gets. I say we move on. We talked about the Arctic Spider 3 lightsaber laser a while ago, where they took one of the lights out of a high luminescent projector, like a computer projector screen kind of thing, and used the laser in it to make a super duper laser. Well, there is a video of this thing in action, and it is still the world's most powerful laser. First, they hold up a traditional blue laser that you can buy at any consumer store, and it makes a nice little blue dot on the screen, but you can't really see anything between the laser and the wall. Then they pick up the Super Jumbotron Arctic Spider 3, and it makes a solid blue stream through the air. Now, there's no fog in the air, that at least not that I'm aware of, but it lights up the whole thing, and it just blows away. Jillie, what was your comment about when you saw the two dots on the wall?
It's like the binary star where there's a big star and a little star, and the big star just totally outshines the little star.
I was thinking more of a star and a planet.
Planets don't glow, silly.
Well, there was an image this week from one of the science websites that there's a Jupiter-sized planet orbiting a star, and you can see it when it's almost on the far side, you know, kind of like when you see Venus really bright, you're catching most of the light reflecting back, because that planet is so big, but the star is so small that those two shouldn't coexist together. I was going to throw that in for the news this week, but we just got too many things, and I had to let some stories go. So this is the laser in action. If you want to see it, it's pretty darn cool. Many have pointed out it's an extremely dangerous laser, and since its announcement, Wicked Lasers, the company that manufactured this, added some safety and training measures requisite for purchase.
Training for a laser.
Gizmodo writes that our Arctic Spider 3 will be arriving any day now for safe control testing. Have any ideas of what we should do with this blue beam of terror? Yeah, we didn't talk about it yet, but we saw some lasers at the Star Wars in concert thing, the green ones that they use at concerts. I'm sure any of you who've been to a concert lately who've had a laser show on there know what you're talking about. Those are pretty powerful as well, and they've got to be pretty close to this, but I don't know why this one is just so super-duper overcharged. All right, final story in the Hacks of Strange Stories. This one's one of my favorites this week, next to the AT-AT. But this is a story about a 13-year-old boy who built his own, well, you could call it a Spider-Man suit. Not suit, but he's able to climb walls using nothing more than a couple of commercial vacuum cleaners that he bought for, what do they say, 20 pounds a piece? It's over in the UK, 15 pounds, something like that. This enterprising youngster you see above had a dream. You got to show the graphic when I say above. Oh, you are. Okay. I thought I saw my camera on a minute ago.
Well, just a second.
A dream to become like his superhero Spider-Man who isn't real. Why would you want to be like somebody who's not real? Nobody really believed him or thought his ideas about how to achieve his goals were very good. But as you can see from his photo, he got the last laugh. Hibiki Kono used two cheap 1,400-watt vacuum cleaners he bought at the grocery store to begin scaling walls of local buildings and impressing all of his new friends. His mother's not that into him doing it in the house. She's afraid he'll destroy the walls and ceiling. But as you can see from the photo and associated video on the website, the site is pretty impressive. Now, his mother did put a limit on how high he can climb, but he sticks there. He's got a way to detach him and climb around, and his feet are attached to the straps that hang down from the handle. So if he moves his left hand up, his left foot has to go up also. But the other limitation is he's got to stay plugged in all the time. So if the power goes out, he takes a fall. So smart kid, 13 years old. Do you think you could have done something like this when you were 13?
Nope.
I mean, for window washers or painters, that's not a bad way to go. I'm sure you'd need some kind of safety line from the top. But it'd be a good way to climb around. And he's doing this on a brick wall, which is amazing. The pads that he's got for his hands are probably, I don't know, 14 inches square. And they've got some kind of like rubber gasket around the outside, like a hover skirt, so they can make a solid, good seal against the wall. And then he's got
I wonder how they get with the brick with the cracks in it. How do they keep the suction?
It's got to have some way to form. It must have been a dirty wall, because at one point he took the handle off of one and just used the hose to sort of vacuum the wall. Like, pretty funny. So kudos to this kid. And I think Craig was saying, or maybe it was Mad Marv on the website, another generation or two of this invention and they won't need CGI for the Spider-Man movies. They'll just be able to give him one of these.
I don't know if I'd be brave enough to climb around a building with one of these with, without
tall, yeah.
some kind of safety line.
All right, we have Remember When. Julie, would you be so kind?
Yep.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
Looking at the Remember When segment, we've got 30 years of Apple computers rolled up into 2 minutes, including morphing. This is fun. They start with some old Apple IIs and Lisas and go into the Macs and the various generations through the 80s and 90s and well into the 2000s. And I'm sure if you've ever used an Apple somewhere along there, from past to present, you'll see one of your favorites, whether it's a laptop or a desktop. It's a whole lot of fun. Not much I can say about it. Julie's going to play a little bit of it on the video stream. But I went, hey, I used one of those. Oh, I used one of those too. They've got an Apple II Plus and an Apple IIe. They've even got the Black Bell and Howell Mac, which I saw a couple of those. That was an interesting concept. The Apple Lisa, which had a switch on the front that went from Mac to Lisa mode. So apparently you could run some Mac software. They got the classic Mac and going into the higher ones. Did you know, Julie, that the original Mac team etched their names inside the case of that?
Every single one?
Yeah, it was kind of in the stencil.
Oh, okay.
When they made the plastic molding. Then, of course, they had to go to a desktop model with the 2C, the 2CX. They went a little slimmer, and they came out with some desk side models, the towers, and the towers would be more expandable. That looks a lot like our Quadra, doesn't it? We still have the 650. No, I think I eventually pitched the 650 in May when I went to the recycle center. I do still have a G3 iMac. Never had a Cube. Understand those were interesting and can be upgraded in a number of ways that they were not originally intended. And then they get into some of the laptops. Oh, we've got a G4 iMac on the floor next to us. And from there on, we've got iMac that are in this room. Would have loved to had a G5 or an Intel Power Mac. That would have been cool. And then they get into the laptops. Look at those, some of those early laptops. Woo, aren't
that
they?
That looks portable.
Yeah, and heavy, and not very big screen. Whole resolution of about 40 by 12. Did you see that orange one, the tangerine laptop? Well, they used to call those the Barbie laptops. They're more like toilet seats. Right up to the MacBook Pro I've got sitting next to me. So cool stuff, great video, a lot of fun to watch, and I'm sure you'll have relived some great memories. More of a throwback. This one's fun. From Geekology, they've got a cassette tape watch. And I'm not sure what the purpose of this was for. This is the $135 EOS mixtape watch. Looks fairly similar to this tape watch. For those of you born yesterday, it looks like a cassette tape, which was a popular audio format from yesteryear before the advent of holographic music discs and iPods. I love Geekology's wording sometimes, but it's not always clean. Introducing the EOS mixtape watch. This watch features an anodized steel case. Wow, they're kind of steampunkish. With an EOS New York laser etched into the base. On the sides of the case, laser etched is a robot and 60 minutes. On the dial is two movable discs, which look like the movement of a real cassette tape. Oh, I get it. One of them is the hands of the clock.
Okay.
That's interesting. That is a fat little watch.
Do you think that's like real size, like huge size? Or is it mini?
I'm guessing it's probably 2 inches across. Maybe it's got to be more than one.
Yeah, it can't be full size though, can it?
No, not full cassette size. Like, you know,
yeah.
No, because that's like 3 or 4 inches. Here, show that on the camera. That's not what we're talking about here. You wouldn't put one of those. But, you know, maybe something at least the size of... Where's a videotape?
you know, I was thinking something more like this, like a DAT or a you know, videotape. That's probably how
that
big I
picture.
That's
still pretty
huge.
That's
huge. Now, it may even be one of those microcassettes like we have in our answering machine, our old answering machine that was down even smaller. Why do I have all this stuff within arm's reach? This studio baffles even me. Like, that was not planned either. So they just happened to be there. So weird, weird stuff from the remember when section. Cassette tape watch. Never would have thought that. $135? I think I'll pass. All right, we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be back with the Media Corner after these short messages.
And now, Star Wars poetry. Tonight, General Grievous gives us his light-hearted composition on the subject of Jedi.
Goodbye, Jedi!
This has been Star Wars poetry.
Warning. The Imperial Command has detected unauthorized or incorrect facts in the podcast called Technorama. If you detect information that needs correction, or you want to have your say, call them on the listener line at 206-222-2428. Here's a nickel. Call someone who gives a shit.
Technorama. I like this place. It's got variety.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
In the Media Corner, we've got to start out with the Futurama thing. This is not related to the latest episode about iPhones and things, although that was funny. The people over at IO9 didn't care as much for it as Julie and I did, as you could tell from some of the audio clips and things that we found. Hope you like the Star Wars poetry. We were just watching Star Wars animated series the other night and noticed that Grievous, without even trying, made a rhyme, and then we put the rest around that. So that was kind of funny. We'll keep an eye out for more things like that. I don't know if we're going to ever have any more Star Wars poetry. It's kind of hard to find Darth Vader reciting Shakespeare, but hey, you never know. If we find it, we'll mock it up. First thing is from ComicsAlliance.com. This is a gentleman who spent the last 2 years putting together a Futurama Lego city. Started with just the Planet Express building and went from there. And it includes the sewers. It includes, I think he plugged his iPhone or iPod video or something into the billboard to play the little cartoons. And he's got the Robot Arms apartments, Madison Cube Garden, and many other familiar landmarks you see on the cartoon. Again, took 2 years to do this and had a lot of personal modded customizations. What were we looking for before that we couldn't find?
I don't remember.
You said something. Where's
The tube system, the transportation.
Oh, yeah, the transportation tubes. They're not in there, unfortunately. Would have been fun to see that. But again, wow, it's got lighting, so if you turn off the lights, the sewers are lit up, and of course, there's Santa Bot on the apartment building. You see him?
What? Oh, there he is.
Craig's in my idea to put Santa Bot at the end of the Dragon Con parade. I don't think that's going to come to fruition this year, but, you know, it's not the end of the parade without Santa Claus, so, and we could have put something on top of his little red VW bug. Would have been fun. Also in the Media Corner, are we still in the Media Corner? I got to check the show notes to make sure we're not wandering off. Oh, we want to talk about you and I going to Star Wars in concert Saturday, July 3rd. Here's what we thought. At least that's what it says on the screen. What did you think, Julie? First, it wasn't just watching a movie with a live concert, which I thought it was originally. I thought it was going to be, watch episode 4 and when the music is normally supposed to play on the screen, we'll have a live concert. That's not what it was. Tell a little bit about the format.
There were kind of
Well, get your face on the camera. Oh, you're talking. There you go.
There are kind of like little sections. Like there was a section about droids and they played the music for... I don't know. Was that music actually in the movies or was...
Some of it, I think, like the opening theme was definitely
right.
The score from the movie. Duel of the Fates from episode one was in there. They played that live. But then they played it to a montage of things, not necessarily even from episode one. It kind of went all over the place, especially what they talked
went
about.
In order,
yeah, they mostly. Talked about droids, and it was focused largely around C-3PO and R2-D2. Tell who was there, person who was narrating.
A guy who sounds exactly like C-3PO.
He sounds exactly like C-3PO. Why?
Because he did the voice and the suit.
Yeah, Anthony Daniels is his
that
name.
Guy.
Anthony Daniels was there, and he did a wonderful job. He'd come out and he'd narrate, and he'd say, here's the story about Anakin Skywalker, and they do a little montage of him growing up and whatnot. And they'd throw in audio clips with him. And, of course, since it was all run through Lucasfilm, they had a nice, clean audio clip. You weren't listening to background music overlaying the audio of the actor. And then they did one on Yoda, they did one on Leia, they did one on the Millennium Falcon and Anakin and Luke. So between these, Anthony would come out and talk about this. He'd set up the segment, basically, little story dialogue, as it were, and then the orchestra would play. Sometimes early on in the presentation, they had a couple of cameras. One was mounted back by the controller's booth, if you will, which was down on the floor. Tell them where we were, Julie.
We were at the Rush Center in Green Bay.
Which also doubles for other events. You could easily see...
Like ice hockey.
You could easily see around the floor there was ice hockey. So some of the people, we had expected to be sitting on the main floor. At least that's what I thought when I bought the tickets, but wasn't so. We were off to the right side as the conductor's facing the orchestra, pretty close. I mean, we were up about five rows. I think we were in row E. And I was sitting next to this 13-year-old kid, and he kept asking me questions like, "What's your favorite battle scene?" Wow, there's a lot of them. I got to think about that. "What's your favorite song? What do you think they'll be playing after they play the opening?" Just. He was into this stuff. He was funny to talk to. I'm sorry I never got his name. And he came with some older guy who looked like he could have been a big brother, big sister, or maybe it was his dad. I don't know. But that guy didn't say boo the whole time. I think the little 8-year-old in front of us said more than the guy next to the 13-year-old kid. So he was a lot of fun to talk to him. I'm sorry I didn't get his name. I like to keep in touch with him. I was going to tell him I'd do a podcast about this stuff all the time. So, Julie, did you enjoy it?
Oh, yes.
How was the music?
Fantastic.
Could you hear the instruments as you expected?
Yeah, it was, you could hear things that you couldn't, like, hear in a recording or anything. Like, when the triangle was playing, you could hear in the way background, oh, yeah, there's a little ding.
Yeah, I can't remember which theme had the triangle.
They did a big close-up of the triangle player.
Yeah, because they had, like I said, they had these two cameras. One was pretty far back with a very powerful lens. So, well, the narration was going on, or they could zoom in on one particular horn player or something. And then there was another one on a big boom that was to the left of the stage, and they could kind of hover over and sweep through the string section without interrupting them. It was all black, so it was fairly discreet, unless, of course, you were sitting somewhere behind it. But just because we were off to the right and it was off to the left, didn't bother us at all. And there was some lighting effects that went on. So it wasn't just watching a movie on a big screen or these video clips on a big screen and listening to live orchestra. They had the choir for Duel of the Fates, if you're familiar with that song. Starts out with some singing. I don't know what they're singing, but it's singing. And the lighting. Talk about the lighting as well.
There were stands with lights on them and like screens,
kind of
almost
arcs. Yeah,
yeah. They would change color as the mood in the movie changed, or the like with the fiery underground lava scene, the lava lights scene, got yep. red, and yep. or they turned blue or green.
Yeah, it really helped to set the mood. And also, along with the big screen, which I don't even know what the dimensions were. I think somebody said it's one of the largest LEDs in the world. I couldn't make out the discrete LEDs from where we were sitting. It just looked like a really great picture. Maybe right. that's the idea. And along with those, they had things to the side and even to the top above the orchestra that were sort of augmenting, but much lower resolution. Those you could clearly see individual pixels, if you were. But if you're sitting far enough back, you could see, oh, there's one of the violin ladies, or there's a picture of Yoda while they're showing video of Yoda on the big screen. So it was, you were constantly looking in different places and listening to the different stuff at different times. So it was very entertaining and was almost 2 hours. We got there about 1:30, and tell them what we did beforehand.
They had props from the movie, the original mm-hmm. props around, and some people dressed up as the characters, especially stormtroopers. And they had
some members of the 501st were there.
Little robot R2-D2 running around.
Yep. What kind of props did you see?
There were lots of costumes, and there was a section of weapons, and there were background things. One with droids running at you, and you could pretend to run away, and one with the twin sons, and you could pretend to be Luke Skywalker.
Oh, I could pretend to do that?
Yeah, you could pretend,
okay, the pictures are on Facebook if you haven't figured it out by now. I got a picture of Julie on the one of the Endor moons in the Ewok village. She's just visiting, passing through. So,
selling condos.
We were going to try and get an interview with one of the stormtroopers, but there were just too many crowds. I did bring some audio recording equipment. I had it in my pocket. Is that fireworks outside?
I think so.
Sounds like somebody's chopping wood. And it was a good time. If you get a chance, go see it. Bring kids. I would recommend, not too young, if they don't have the attention span to sit still for 2 hours and listen to music and watch some of the videos. Then again, I had the attention span of a small rodent yesterday. We were constantly making fun references to Robot Chicken and whatnot. So it was a lot of fun. I think at one point the little girl in front of us turned around and went, shh. She got kind of ticked off at me. So we just kept making Mystery Science Theater kind of comments. Because I think Anthony at one point, he was talking about the Death Star. He says, the Death Star was destroyed and they came forth with a newer, bigger Death Star. And I went, with a water park inside. He could just make stuff up. It was pretty funny. So had a great time. Just enjoyed it. Again, if you get a chance, go see it. All right, we got a couple of things in the Geek Library. We're going to zip through these pretty quick. I know Craig's not here, and a couple of these were his. But possibly one of the funniest things... Oh, should we play...
do
it. You got the graphic up there.
All right.
In the Geek Library, we've got one of the funniest things we've seen this week was somebody did... I don't know if this is CGI. It didn't look like it. It actually did look like it, but it was superimposed. A day in the life of a pet AT-AT. It's about the size of a dog, and it's animated, sitting on the couch and, of course, watering the fire hydrant and chasing a squirrel up a tree, acting like a dog. Well, that wasn't good enough because somebody came along and did a real dog doing the same motions. Of course, the pet owner had to do his own version of it, so he put cardboard over his real dog and dog could still see and whatnot, but the cannons on the front didn't work, so the cannons of the real AT-AT were shooting at a squirrel, but the real dog just kind of stood at the base of the tree and barked. So life imitating art, very funny. If you haven't seen these, go look for AT-AT dog day in the life of, or check the show notes and we'll have them there. A lot of fun. Question at the beginning of the show is, who is at the center of the sci-fi universe? And if you couldn't tell by the title, we have a Venn diagram with three interlocking circles. The first circle is...
Hang on.
Oh, Julie's nice. She's still on the dog
still
video.
On the dog. Okay.
One is killer robots. One is time travel. One is spaceships. Now, where spaceships and time travel intersect, you've got Star Trek. Where killer robots and spaceships intersect,
you've got Battlestar Galactica and where time travel and killer robots intersect, you've got the Terminator. But where all three intersect, right in the middle, there's just a picture of the TARDIS, because only Doctor Who has all three: time travel, killer robots, and spaceships. I'm curious if you could put in other sci-fi topics and make other series or television shows or movies or whatever come up in those intersecting sections, and who would you could probably tailor this. But I thought it was a very creative way of saying, hey, Doctor Who's got the best of all worlds.
Right. I'm not big into debate, but I could definitely make this point and I could win this debate.
She's already thinking about her senior projects. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention. Julie came up with this, but I actually got to put it into practice. We went up to the concession stand at the Star Wars thing yesterday, and I just waved my hand in front of her and said, the beer is free. There is no charge. And it took the lady a second. She's like, what did you say? I said, you may have all the beer you like for no charge. And she just started laughing. She goes, that's pretty good. Nobody said that. But credit to Julie for saying it first. I think you did it to the snow cones or the cotton candy or something. These snow cones are no charge. It didn't work, by the way. And then I told the 13-year-old kid next to me, I said, did you pay for those nachos or did you wave your hand and tell them they're free? He went, oh, I should have. Our final thing in the Geek Library is the IT Crowd game. This is a whole lot of fun. I played it for a little while, but it does kind of remind me of work. If you haven't watched the IT Crowd on one of the BBC channels, it's funny. You can get it on Netflix as well. Great British comedy. Little risque for the language, more so than what you'd find in the US, of course. But they came out with a little online game. Crappy little 8-bit kind of Atari looking game where you're supposed to fight viruses and spam and whatnot, and it starts out with your first day at work and you just kind of go around the network clicking on stuff, so it does kind of remind me of work in some ways. But if you haven't played it, it's fun. You don't need to watch the TV show to get a lot of fun out of it. All right, that brings us to the end of the show. We actually got through a lot of stuff, Julie, in a fairly short order. Good content tonight. We appreciate your support. We appreciate you sticking with us. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do so on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. We'd love to hear from you on the network show. Or you can send us email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We can do that just as well. If you have an audio, a microphone or something, you want to mail us an audio clip, you can do that too. I know a lot of podcasters listen to the show. We'd love to hear from you. Get a hold of us on Twitter, C. Tomasi Step K. That's STEPPEK. He spells his name a little different than you think. It's more like the Russian steps. Maybe back in his lineage, he is Russian. Or, of course, Technorama. We follow that one as well. And put things out there like the various videos and things. So if you're not following the RSS feed, things like the AT-AT was on the news site or on the Technorama site first. Get the news feed and or visit the site regularly, or you're likely to miss something that doesn't make it into the show. This show is all about having fun. The site augments that just as well. If you want, there's also the tip jar, $2 a month. Keep the show going, pay for bandwidth, pay for hosting, and in return, you get special video clips and audio clips and tours and things that we produce roughly once a month. I'm coming out with some good stuff, and looking forward to seeing what Craig has also. We do have one of our listeners, Jeremy, is looking at putting some special together for us as well. Don't know if that's going to go in the member feed or in the normal, what do you call it, this feed, where you pick up the regular podcast, or if it's going to be inserted as a segment. We've got to find out how long it is and what kind of material he gets for us. Appreciate that. If you've got the idea and you want to try something like that, you go, hey, I've got a high-tech or science-y project or going on a field trip, bring along a microphone, see what happens. You get special privileges when you bring a microphone. It's kind of fun. You can find us, put a comment on the iTunes Music Store, all that kind of stuff. Just go to the website. You'll find it. There's even a survey over there. We'd love to hear from you. Special thanks to Madbar for providing all the great blog content during the week. Ustream, who keeps our video going and archives and saves all this stuff, so when you watch it embedded into the website, you see it there. Special thanks to Steve Rickyberg and the crew over at thinstack.net. They give us our chat room for the low, low cost of nothing. This show is also a proud member of Friends in Tech. We
collaborate with many good friends over there. There's also links to some good podcasts. If you like this, you're going to like that stuff as well. Go over to farpointmedia.com. We're part of that network. They host all of our audio. Thank you very much. We are part of the farpointmedia.com family of podcasts, as you're here at the beginning and end of this show. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And Julie, would you be so kind as to give us that binary high five?
101.
So much for a pleasant swim and vomit.